name is Diana Linden Johnson, and I serve right now as the assistant to the Bishop for Rostrum Ministers in the Rocky Mountain Synod. And so I get to work with Pastor Ann as one of our first call ministers in the Synod. And I've loved getting to know her and know that it's hard to get supply pastors up here. And so I'm thrilled that I can be with you today and that she doesn't have to prepare a sermon on her, on one of her weeks off. So, plus, it's just good to be in another part of the Synod and meet more of our folks. So I bring greetings from the Office of the Bishop and Bishop Jim Bonia, and just am truly thrilled to be with you today. Just a few announcements before we begin the service. We'll be taking donations for the spring cleaning basement sale all week this week. Food pantry is tomorrow. There won't be Bible study this week with Pastor Ann gone. Friday and Saturday will be the spring cleaning basement sale. And then next Sunday at 11 a.m. at the UCC congregation, they'll have the steel drum band playing that morning, and all are welcome to participate in that. And then just one other note, at the end of the service, I would love to take a photograph of you all in your beautiful sanctuary, and so we'll just do that right after the dismissal. So I invite you to please stand for confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We'll sing our gathering song, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ.
Thank you. God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from the second chapter of Acts. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know that with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other disciples, apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments, and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. The word of the Lord. Let us read Psalm 116 responsibly. I love the Lord who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication.
The Lord has given ears to me and hear my call.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow.
And I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray for thee, save my life.
How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me?
I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. The second reading is from the first chapter of 1 Peter. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during this time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with the perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God, the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? Jesus asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. May grace, peace, and mercy be yours this day from the triune God. Amen. What should we do? How many times have we asked that question of ourselves or someone near us? What should we do for dinner? What should we do this weekend? What should we do to celebrate your birthday? But sometimes the questions are harder. What should we do about the homeless people in our community? What should we do about those who are hungry? What should we do about the natural disaster that we just heard about on the news? What should we do about gun violence in schools? What should we do about our friend or child or spouse who is sick, depressed, grieving, or struggling to find work? What should we do? This is the same question the crowds listening to Peter's post-Pentecost sermon asked in today's reading from Acts. What should we do? Peter had just finished explaining to the crowd about Jesus' resurrection and the impossibility of confining Jesus to death. He's explained that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise made through King David. And he finishes with the bold proclamation that the entire house of Israel knows with certainty that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified. Those who heard the sermon that day were people from the house of Israel, Jews who had come from nations all around Jerusalem to gather in that place. A significant amount of time had passed since Jesus' death and resurrection. Enough time, in fact, for Jesus to appear to his disciples, ascend into heaven, for the remaining disciples to find a replacement for Judas, and for this crowd to come together to celebrate this Feast of Weeks in Jerusalem. Because so much time has passed, most of the people gathered to hear Peter on Pentecost were likely not the same who were present at Jesus' trial and crucifixion. And yet Peter places the blame for Jesus' crucifixion on their shoulders, saying, "Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Although they likely were not the ones directly responsible for Jesus' crucifixion, and Peter himself was the one who denied Jesus three times, something about what Peter says to the people gathered that day still cuts right to their hearts. If it had been me there, I likely would have focused on that accusation made by Peter, responding with something to the effect of, "It wasn't me, I wasn't there. I wasn't responsible for Jesus' death." But those gathered instead focus on the proclamation that Peter makes, that Jesus is the Lord and Messiah. Because their response was not, "It wasn't my fault." Instead, it was, "What should we do? What should we do about this Jesus, this prophet, teacher, Lord, and Messiah, who was crucified, died, rose again, and ascended into heaven? What should we do?" One of Martin Luther's big arguments during the Reformation that there was and is nothing that we can do to earn God's grace. There's a scene from the movie Luther, which came out in 2003. How many of you seen it? And it shows Martin Luther as a monk scrubbing the floors of the monastery where he lives in the middle of the night. And he's on his hands and knees with a bucket and with a scrub brush in his hand. And he's praying and he's in anguish over the reality of his own brokenness and the realization that there's nothing he can do to earn God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. Not if he scrubs a million floors, or washes a million dishes, or bakes a million loaves of bread for those who are hungry all day and night for the rest of his life. There is nothing he can do. But shortly after this scene of scrubbing and anguish, there is another in which Luther is reading his Bible in a small cell in the monastery and comes across the line in Paul's letter to the Ephesians that says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." He realizes in that moment, not only is it impossible for him to earn God's grace, but that he doesn't have to. That he doesn't have to scrub floors or wash dishes or feed the poor or pray all night or follow all the rules in order to be loved and forgiven by God. Through baptism, he realizes his sins have already been forgiven. And not only that, but this baptism has imparted the gifts of the Holy Spirit upon him and all of God's community. Gifts that can be used for the benefit of others. So maybe the question is not, what should we do, but why do we do? Why do we volunteer at the food pantry? Why do we help support Meals on Wheels, the Crisis Center, Compass Center for Families, or Hike for Hope Suicide Prevention? Why do we deliver food, visit or send flowers to someone who is sick, in the hospital, or experiencing grief? Why do we treat the stranger with kindness? The answer to why do we do is not because we have to, or because we should, or because that's how we earn God's grace. The answer to why do is about responding to the love, mercy, and forgiveness that we have already received from God and from one another. That's what we hear in the passage from Acts this morning. Peter tells those gathered that God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Fortunately, the crowd doesn't get caught up in guilt or blame. Instead, they receive the words, the revelation about Christ as a gift, and asked, "What should we do?" Peter tells them to repent, to be baptized so that their sins will be forgiven and that they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And from that moment, the possibilities for responding to the question, what do? Are endless. According to Professor Dwight Shiley in his book, People of the Way, in the book of Acts, the early Christian movement came to be known as the Way. Jesus' followers were known as people of the Way. They were not so much members of an institution or adherents to a particular set of developed doctrines, as they were disciples of a holistic way of life in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. This way of life brought them attention from the surrounding society. They became both noted and notorious for their subversion of the idolatries of empire, for their compassion for society's most vulnerable, for their egalitarian community life, and for their high ethical norms. This response to what should we do goes way beyond figuring out what's for dinner or how to celebrate a birthday or what to do next weekend. Because when we respond to God's love, filled with God's Spirit, the possibilities are endless. Perhaps we will become advocates for children in our community or help find shelter for those without housing. Maybe we will strike up a conversation or build a relationship with the people we serve at the food bank. Perhaps we will help build a home with Habitat for Humanity or travel to a community devastated by an earthquake, hurricane, or a tornado to help with rebuilding. Maybe we will sponsor a refugee family. Perhaps we'll call or write to our senator advocating for someone or something that we believe in. Maybe we simply teach our children or our grandchildren the importance of respecting and caring for others. Really, the possibilities for responding to the question, what should we do, are endless. But the scope of the promise is endless too. Peter tells the crowd that day that the promise is for you, for your children, and for all those who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. The work of the Holy Spirit started with a relatively small group of people gathered from all the nations. People who responded to their experience and Peter's words by asking, what should we do? Who responded by repenting and being baptized? Who responded by receiving forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit? And who responded by preaching the gospel and radically caring for those who were lost, least, and outcast? Fortunate for us, that promise was not just for them, but instead spread from that moment and place throughout the land and the world as people shared what they had seen, experienced, and believed about Christ through both word and deed. Why do we do? Because we have received the gifts of grace that come to us from Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. What should we do? That is the question. What should we do as individuals and as a community in response to the grace and love that has been so freely given to us, to our children, to those far away, to everyone that Jesus calls to him, to anyone who needs food or comfort or advocacy, to anyone who needs to hear the message of God's unconditional love, to anyone who longs for a welcoming community that proclaims God's grace? My guess is that there is someone not so far away who is longing for these words. So what should we do? May it be so. Thank you. believe through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Ever-present God, you make yourself known in the breaking of the bread and in the bonds of community. Reveal yourself to us in the faces of all we meet. Strengthened by your body and blood, let us boldly live out your good news. Hear us, O God.
As we know you in the baking of the bread, we know you in the grains of the field and in the flowing waters. Care for the earth you lovingly create. Strengthen those who safeguard threatened land and water. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You are the authority to whom we dedicate our lives. Help us keep the needs of those most vulnerable at the forefront of our community. Move us to care for any who are disregarded or oppressed. Hear us, O God.
Mothering God, you feed and comfort those who hunger. Open the hearts of those who hoard resources and lead them to share your abundance. We pray for anyone hungering for your comforting presence this day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You pour out your love on those who are oppressed. Support and comfort anyone who is marginalized by gender or sexuality and those whose stories are not believed. Form this community to listen faithfully and speak honestly in our ministry together. Hear us, O God.
We remember with thanksgiving all your beloved saints. As you have raised them to eternal life, abide with us in your promise of resurrection. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share God's peace with one another. Receive the morning offering, the first and the best of what God has granted to our care.
Thank you.
Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth and the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast and grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, with your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is ready. Stand as you're able. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through
through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Just kind of scoot towards the aisle, if you don't mind, and see if I can get a picture. You guys are welcome to come in, too. Okay, Paul, a little further in. Okay, you ready? Say cheese. Are you ready now? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, we're good. Thank you so much. Can I post it on the Rocky Mountain Synod Facebook page? Do I have your permission?
Good morning.
Thank you so much. It was nice to meet you.